Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you? Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hope you had a great weekend. Sean Carey, Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studio. In just a few, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Monday editions of the Steve Jones Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. On Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're getting into spring cleaning. That'll be here before we know it. So spring cleaning, time to check your insurance policy. Make sure you've got what you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll customize a policy to fit your needs and budget at Purdy Insurance in Sunbury. Yeah, we got some Purdy Insurance news to share.
Have they picked the date?
They have. I was exchanging messages this morning with Adam Purdy. It will be on Wednesday, May the 8th.
Perfect.
For the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Perfect.
Yep.
Let's see. There wouldn't be anybody like on staff, like on vacation that week, is there?
I'm not on vacation that week, so I'm good.
Oh, good. That's great. Perfect. I was just wondering if maybe anybody else was.
Down the hall.
I'll
look into that.
I mean, maybe you could tell them the tournament's May 1st.
That's true. That your Carolina timeshare is going to expire on May 8th.
He's got a timeshare?
I don't think. He used to. I thought he did years ago. I don't think he does that anymore.
Have you heard those commercials now where people are trying to desperately get out of their timeshare?
Yeah.
There's a good reason for that. My brother did that. Now, don't bring it up on the show with him, okay?
Okay.
Because it was with his first wife. So, you know, not the best subject, okay?
Gotcha.
But I remember they went on their honeymoon, whatever, and they came back. Oh, yeah, they got time. I'm like, oh, that's terrific. Got a timeshare, did you?
Ooh, linked into a honeymoon. That's a double whammy.
Ooh, that's sore.
Yeah.
All right. So May 8th, Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. I'm going to take a leap of faith here and say that it's going to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA.
Yes, we're just hoping that the greens, dry out between now and then.
We're fine. Cat, don't panic.
That's actually Adam's words, not mine.
Adam. Oh, you know, last year at the end of the tournament, we did propose that trade. Where we got Adam Purdy in exchange for the suit and international pool money.
Okay. We're going to have to rekindle talks, negotiations on that.
Oh, there really doesn't need to be any rekindling of talks or negotiations. I've already said yes. The other side said yes.
I think Steve Engel said yes, too. I could have sworn he did.
I think he did, too. Maybe what we'll do is we'll go nine holes. with the chief, Craig, myself, you along, of course, helping out, and then Captain Button Down, the J.B. Holmes of our group.
Oh, and then do a roster flip then.
And then at the turn, we'll make a flip. Then when we charge and win the tournament, we will then know what the issue was. Did you see yesterday the Daytona 500?
I saw the replay of the wreck toward the end of the race. I did see
what do
that.
What mean wreck?
Or okay, multi-car pileup. Okay. Actually, our buddy Kyle Alexander from down the hall, he was at the race yesterday. But as to where he was seated, as to where the wreck took place and where he was at, I don't know how close of a shot he had a chance to see of it.
I tuned in with 35 laps to go. And with the idea, okay, I'll watch the end of the race. How many were there? Four, five wrecks in 35 laps? Maybe, maybe more. One of them involved 19 cars.
Yeah, and I think there was at least one more wreck after that huge wreck, too. Yeah, before Denny Hamlin crossed first.
Yeah. And that's how he got to the lead.
21 cars. Oh, they hit Blackjack. Wow. In one wreck.
And I'm like, oh, brother. So then, of course, you flip it over to, because I think they're still on right now. Somebody asked me at some point in the house, we had a group of people here, who was going to win, and I said the pace car. So it was...
Yeah, how about this? Only three cars crossed the line without a scratch on it.
That's amazing.
It is.
Now, the next one is J.B. Holmes won the L.A. Open. I think he's still out on 15 now lining up a putt. He is so slow out there. Yeah, and this is where he's at fault. I'll tell you exactly where he's at fault with this. He was playing, I believe, with Adam Scott and Justin Thomas. And it was one hole that he was on where he was closest to the pin, so he's going to go last. And so Thomas steps up, goes through his routine, putts. Adam Scott does exactly the same thing. Okay. It is then that J.B. Holmes takes out his book and starts looking at the contour of the green. It took him 1 minute and 20 seconds from the time that he opened the book to the time he struck the putt. 1 minute and 20 seconds. What, to a fan, that's 1 minute and 20 seconds of doing nothing. 1 minute 20 seconds. This is where he erred. While Thomas and Scott are going through their pre-shot routines and then putting, that's when you look at your book. You're not paying attention to what they're doing anyway. Look at the book. Right then, as soon as Adam Scott putts, I think Scott was the last one to putt, boom, put the book away, hand it over, then go through whatever pre-shot routine. You've now knocked 45 seconds off this deal. He did the same thing in the fairway to the point where even Ian Baker Finch, who isn't critical of anything, he's talking about how long it was taking him to go and hit shots. I mean, they were on 15. I think the next to last group was finishing up on 18. I mean, it's just that slow. I mean, you got to get... I know he won. Him winning, I always love it. Well, he won. That justifies what he did. Just like when I talk about Alabama not deserving a year ago to be in the college football playoff. Well, they won it. That doesn't mean they should have been in to begin with. It doesn't justify it. Okay, it's just it takes him too long. Stop with the psychobabble mumbo jumbo and just step up and hit the ball, will you? I know you've got a lot for your family riding on every shot. I got it. But at some point, you are going to have to hit it. Wanted to get into the transfer portal a little bit too, get into that. Mark Allen, by the way, put his name in. Now, Allen, in order to do this, would have to petition the NCAA for a sixth year of eligibility. He redshirted his first year, 2014. He only played three games this year, then he got hurt. So he might have a shot at a sixth year. Thus, that's the reason he put his name in, because he's already done the senior day thing. And here he has his degree. We'll talk about the transfer portal in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Boy, you put Mark Lawrence in combination with the Shamokin Dam Orchestra. Listen to this. I mean, Lawrence is jamming, isn't he? That's Kyle Alexander, by the way, on bass in the background. You're not buying?
No, they have more talent than some people think.
Including them.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Sometimes it may happen on the time, depending on the time of day, but it's true.
Yeah.
Just like me, I get better as the day goes along.
Yeah, usually a lot of people feel I'm at my best after five. I don't quite understand the timing. The transfer portal. It's interesting that in terms of landing spots in the transfer portal, you're going to have some schools that have more openings, and Penn State would end up being one of them, than others because of transfers. Well, the question is, Sean, are there enough landing spots for players? I mean, that's the question. Do you have enough landing spots? Yeah, Juwan Johnson landed at Oregon. Alex Gellerstadt landed at Virginia. Jarvis Miller landed at UMass. I mean, some people have found landing spots. Not everybody has. To my knowledge, Aaron Monroe has not yet found it. Brandon Polk, to my knowledge, has not yet found one. Let's see. I'm trying to think. There's somebody else that hasn't found it yet either. Let's take Penn State out of it for a moment and do this in general terms, okay? Because I don't want people to think I'm specifically speaking about somebody when I'm not. I think what's interesting about the transfer portal is this. You have young people that are going through, obviously, the ups and downs of any college career. Everybody has it. Everybody. Yeah, even Barkley had it. Remember, Barkley got hurt his freshman year. That's part of the down. So they go through the ups and downs of a college career. I know emotion is preached all the time in sports. And when it comes to the a big decision like this, you have to really take emotion out of it. Tate Martell is a good example. He hears Justin Fields is going to transfer in. So he boldly declares he's going to beat him out. The second Justin Fields announces he is going from Georgia to Ohio State, Tate Martell transfers. He ends up at Miami. He's going to be able to play right away. That's one of the more bizarre ones. I mean, he's going to play right away for what? What's his hardship? That he elected to leave? His position coach ended up becoming head coach. Not good enough? I mean, really? Emotion is such a big element to this. And I think that And this is hard to do. This is where the adults have to step in. I don't mean the coaching staff. I mean a parent, a grandparent, parents, plural, that can look at somebody and say, okay, let's know this out logically. In reality, what is best? Now, what's best may be leaving. What's best may be leaving. But just because you leave and go someplace doesn't mean it's going to be better for you. It may work out like Gardner Minshew did at Washington State. He was at East Carolina. He was going to take a walk-on spot at Alabama. And then suddenly it opened up at Washington for bad circumstances, obviously. Okay? Bad circumstances because of the tragic, awful suicide of their quarterback. And he ended up going there, and he had a great year, and he's at least going to get looks in NFL camps. Now, whether he makes it or not, we'll see. But you see a story like that, and you say, ah, see? Kelly Bryant's going to be an example of that in Missouri. Ah, look at Kelly Bryant. Or Bryant may have a mediocre year. Just changing scenery doesn't always mean it's going to be great for you. Davon Smith, it didn't quite work out for him. Justin Brown, it worked out okay. He did well in Oklahoma. Silas Redd, in reality, it didn't work out great for him. Kyrie Fort, did we ever really hear much about him after he left? Anthony Farrah, I think it worked okay for him. He was able to be around his mom. I've had people talk about like Daylon Darien. Daylon Darien, there's a family member that's not doing well, and he wanted to be closer to home. Can you blame him? I mean, something like that you can completely understand. That's where emotion is a powerful force. But I think they have to do a good job of taking the emotion out of it and then trying to make a decision. That's not easy for any 18 to 22-year-old to do. Just like it's not easy sometimes for a 45-year-old to do. To try and take the emotion out of it as you make a decision. That way you can do it with a clear head, a clear mind. The other part, too, is you don't know in these individual meetings, and I know I don't know in these individual meetings, what they've been told. They may have been told straight out, hey, look, you've been passed out of this thing. You're going to have to work. And sometimes the path of least resistance is to go someplace else. Are we getting too much where the path of least resistance is too easy? I mean, college basketball season is about 5 weeks away from ending for almost everybody, except for those who end up going to the Final Four. You'll notice that there'll be 700 to 800 names asking to transfer. That's the way it's been in each of the last 3 years in college basketball.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pick from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I should probably tell that story now that we're back on, huh? It was 2007. Because baseball's coming up. We're going to have the initial Phillies game with, what, Tampa Bay coming up on Friday?
Friday afternoon, yes.
So Phillies baseball's back. Scott Fransky, L.A., the whole group. And I was telling him a story about, you know, I guess the Red Sox are going to open with Northeastern. And, you know, last five games for Northeastern are all listed there. And then the last five games for the Red Sox. Well, the last five games for the Red Sox are all the World Series games. Okay. I was telling Sean, in 2007, my son Christopher, who's going to be getting married in June this year, was in the hospital. I mean, some serious stuff. He was at Boston Children's at the time. And he's doing terrific now, so... And so I wanted to get Kathy out of the hospital for a little bit. So let's just go someplace. So we take a drive up to the Burlington Mall. And I want to say that's about 15 miles outside of Boston. And it's October, whatever. And also we go past one of those, I think it's called the Rainforest Cafe. Does that sound right to you? I don't know how many there are now, but there used to be a chain. And so she sees that, and she goes running over. Oh, this is great. I'm just standing out there, you know, at the edge. Both feet still squirrely in the mall area. And this guy walks up next to me, stands next to me, and his kids go running over. And he looks over at me, and he says, "Your kids love it, too." I said, "No." He goes, "Well, who's over there?" I said, "My wife." He starts laughing. Starts laughing. I said, "How old are your kids?" He tells me how old his kids are. You know, I said, "That's great." You know, and I look over at him. You know, he's telling me this. I'm like, "Yeah, that's great." No, he says, "You know, I told him, you know, we had five kids and we got one in the hospital, so that, you know, that's why we're here." I said, "But, you know, give her your good release." And I finally, his kids go running back, and I looked at him. I said, "Hey, by the way, good luck in the World Series." He goes, "Hey, thanks, man." It was Mike Lowell, who ended up being the MVP of the World Series that year. So, because he started talking to me. He was like, he says, "Your kids over there too?" I said, "No, my wife."
Too cool.
He couldn't stop laughing. It's like, oh yeah, like, oh my goodness. Oh, I got a million of them. Some are true.
You do?
Oh, yeah. What?
That I've learned.
Yeah. Nah, they're actually all true. It's just over time, you just end up acquiring some of these things. Well, it's just the way it is. So today, I am going to go over to a winter workout today. That way, in the show tomorrow, I can give you a kind of a read on what's going on. Fair enough? Now, here's the text. Okay. Let's see. Here's the text I exchanged this morning. I'm not going to say with whom. Okay. But this is a... Where is it here? Here we go. I said, one more shot, great one. What is our practice deal this week? I will try not to rush in through the elephant door. You do know what happened, don't you? The elephant door, by the way, is the big roll-up door at Haluba. You heard what happened, didn't you?
That may be a story I didn't hear. Double dip of story time with Steve on a Monday.
No. One of the coaches was running in to get in and cracked their head and got 11 staples in the forehead from the elephant door. That would be one James Franklin. Last week. Ouch. That's why I texted that. I may just go through the front door. I got, yes, please watch your head when entering.
At your own risk.
That was the reply. Please watch your head when entering. Like, yeah, I think so.
A little bit at your own risk.
But it'll be a first chance for me to see the freshmen, obviously. Give me an idea on where certain guys, what they look like, so forth. So I want to do that. Next half hour, we will have, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. And then we'll have Matt Leon and a writer who covers Nebraska in the final half hour. Now, we're supposed to have on Dave Cicchini. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You got it.
The new head coach of Bucknell. Because of my fault, and it is solely my fault. Okay? So, Dave, okay? Hey, this is on me. My fault. Right? We need to reschedule because we desperately do want to have him on, but we can't do it today.
And we just heard back from Jen on campus, our football contact. She says no problem. So, we're in the process. We'll get that going.
Jen, there is one person who is at fault here. The one person is me. Okay? It is not Sean. Now, I know it would be an easy out here to say it's the suit, but but when it's on me, it's on me. Okay, this one's on me. All right, so we will reschedule. And he's already putting his staff together. Yeah, I saw the staff hires he's made. I was reading the bios.
Yeah, quite a few were officially announced earlier today.
Yeah, and I believe one of them is being retained from. From Joe's staff. And that's a move I like. I think it's always good for the players to continue to see a familiar face in the building. I always have felt that. I felt that when Bill O'Brien came in and he kept Larry Johnson and he kept Ron Vanderlinden, you felt like he was still, for the players, keeping a rudder. That was important. I think it's always important when, if it's possible, to bring in either a coach that has direct linkage to the program, which is what James Franklin did with Terry Smith, or retain an existing assistant. That's if they fit what you're going to do. I thought Urban Meyer was very smart about that, because Luke Fickell, who had been the defensive coordinator, had then moved over to being the interim head coach when Jim Tressel was dismissed. Urban kept Luke Fickell on the staff. I always felt that that was an important and smart thing to do because, again, if somebody's good enough and competent enough for the players that are coming back, they're at least seeing somebody that they've been seeing every day for a few years anyway. And I don't just mean the administrative assistant. Don't ever discount that, because it does bring with it a level of comfort. That's why no matter what on the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, we're not bagging Craig or the Chief. I want to be able to at least know that we've got like the same core group. Did I miss a name?
Yes.
Yeah, but I said you can get rid of some people, but a lot of you keep like a familiar face.
But when you're thinking about the back nine, I figure you're talking post-transaction, post-trade.
We're not getting... Look,
after the swap.
If we get Adam Purdy on the team, okay, there will be no swap. Once we get him, we got it.
So the other guy would be... gone.
Well, I'm telling you right now, he's on the waiver wire. Right, just sitting there.
Not to be confused with the pup list.
I've cleared waivers. I've cleared waivers. yeah, we're fine. We're good. There's this guy over at Dunkin' Donuts. Looked like he could play. We took him. Okay. Let's see. The All-Star game's not worth talking about. It's interesting. The NBA is an interesting league. But right now, the players have a lot of power as to where they go, it seems. Now, the difference between an Anthony Davis, for example, and a Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant made his move to Golden State, he was a total, complete free agent. Davis still has a year and a half to go in his contract. So he's publicly trying to dictate something to get him out of his situation in New Orleans. He could have become a free agent after his first contract was up, but he elected to sign an extension. Perfectly fine. I understand that. Now you look at Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Both have been sitting there and continue to sit there. Spring training's underway. They're both sitting there without teams for the moment. We both know that, and all of us know that that's going to change. But change to what terms? This is a very interesting time. You can tell how uneasy some of the young players are in baseball. Chris Bryant of the Cubs was very uneasy about the fact that Machado and Harper have not signed. Because, look, he's sitting there wanting his deal to play out so he can sign, which now brings us to the other part of this. Do you realize what kind of decline there has been in players that are 33 years or older in baseball? Down 26%. The number of players that are 33 and older in Major League Baseball is down 26%. Which means the odds, and again, Machado and Harper don't fall into this. Remember, they're both in their mid-20s. But the odds of getting that next really big contract at 32, 33... the analytics guys don't want you. They feel there are ways of putting together teams and older players, unless you're exceptional, might not be it. But 26% down, 26%. Is where baseball is right now. Last year, the average salary in Major League Baseball went down. You know the biggest reason why Major League Baseball salary went down last year? Because they were using younger players and weren't spending money on older players. Younger players are always going to be more inexpensive.
Do you want to take a quick call before the break?
No, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Oh, okay.
Who do we have? Here?
We've got Billy on the line from Winfield, one to talk about retaining coaches.
Hey, Billy, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Steve. Glad to hear your voice. Don't get a chance to listen very often.
Oh, Billy, come on.
I know, I'm killing you.
No, we need you, Billy. Billy, we need you. No, whatever the duty is, this is a higher calling.
Well, listen, as a Dolphins fan, I'm sitting here reeling from yet another coaching hire.
Right.
You struck a little bit of a chord with me in terms of retaining coaches because one of my favorite coaches on the Dolphins was Darren Rizzi, who survived several different regimes.
Yes.
And it just struck a question in my mind because I know his daughter's at Penn State and he's been to some Penn State events. I really thought highly of him. Wondered if you had ever had a chance to meet him, and if you think he has potential as being a head coach in the NFL at some point. He's been hired by the Saints now that the Dolphins let him go. But what's your take on Darren Rizzi?
You know, first of all, I think he's an excellent coach because look at some of the people who have gone through the Dolphins system, and I think that despite the fact that they want to put it on Ryan Tannehill's back and so forth. I think for the most part, they've had a really good running game. he's been a big part of that. Now, I have never, I don't know if I've been in the same room with him, Billy. I don't think.
Okay.
I know I've never met him, but I know his reputation's really good. And let's see how things play out for him in New Orleans, because you and I both know what the trend is right now. Look at all the hires that they're making. The hires that they're making, for the most part, the sands of Vic Fangio in Denver,
right,
as they're going with younger, offensive-minded coaches. They would love to see Lincoln Riley, for example, make the jump. But I'll tell you, being a career assistant in this league, you hang in there long enough, that door may open for you because you've got a great reputation. The fact that he was retained on the Dolphins staff as often as he was retained tells you something about him as a coach and what they think of him. That speaks volumes to me.
Yeah. I think he would have been retained this time. It's just that, you know, with the fact that he had a couple of head coaching interviews, it just wouldn't have probably have looked good for him to stay yet again.
Yeah, you know what? And maybe he felt, you know, it may have been a two-way street. Maybe he felt he needed a change of scenery. You know,
yeah.
Different organization. You know, and being with Sean Payton is not a bad way to go, because it does have the potential to enhance your profile.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, look at all
that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sean Payton at least has a tree. Who's the last Dolphins coach that ever has said about them they have a coaching tree?
Yeah, well, Adam Gase has a coaching tree, but it's his own.
Right.
You know? But you go there, and look who he's got to work with. Okay, he gets to work with Alvin Kamara. He gets to work
right
with Mark Ingram. Not bad. I mean, I think
nope.
That, and that's what you're looking at when you're looking at, you know, what you have is that's going to enhance your profile. It's going to enhance right your profile. I mean, and so, how long was Darren Ridsey there? I want to say 8-9 years. Does that sound right?
Yeah, he came in under Sperano, right at the beginning. So I think 9 years.
Yeah, but not only that, guess who Darren Rizzi's going to work with on an everyday basis?
Well,
Phil Galliano. And Phil Galliano.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, because Darren's going to be there primarily with their special teams with the Saints.
Right.
Okay. Phil's going to be his assistant. I mean, Darren, and believe me, being a special teams coordinator, to be honest with you, is also an avenue to get yourself a head coaching job. Let's talk John Harbaugh.
Right.
What do you think John Harbaugh did with Philadelphia? He was special teams.
Yep. Well, I just listening to press conferences and stuff. I've never met him either, of course, but listening to press conferences, he just handles himself so well. He always has great stories. He could definitely go into TV or radio if coaching ever falls through. But the Penn State connection was there, so I thought I'd just check with you.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. You know, hey, look, he's also spent a quarter century of his life as a coach. He knows what he's doing. Everybody, he is universally respected. I just have never met the man. Chuck Knox's daughter went to school here. I never met him either. Now.
Yep.
Dick Vermeil's daughter went to school here, too. Now, him I played golf with, so it's not like, you know, I've been around Dick a few times. But, but if I ever met him, you'd be one of the first people I'd bring up. Hey, look, Billy thinks the world of you.
Make sure you tell him I said hello.
I sure will. Hey, I know duty calls, but we appreciate the fact that you can fit us in from Winfield once in a while. I appreciate it so much, Billy.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
You too, brother. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow, Penn State basketball. Nebraska's in town. We'll talk about that in the final half hour. We'll talk about Colin Kaepernick final half hour. We'll talk about some basketball in the next half hour.
Penn State wrestling team had to stay in Chicago last night. Couldn't get out. Bad weather. So they got back. I think they got back this afternoon because they had to go from Champaign upstate to O'Hare. That's like a two and a half hour trip because I've done it before. I've had to go from, you know, the opposite way. What's the difference? From O'Hare down to Champaign. But they had to stay overnight last night, the wrestling team did. Finally got back this afternoon. Their last home dual meets with Buffalo. I know they're working hard. I've got it because they're the hardest working team going, the Penn State wrestling team. But, Sean, don't you feel like there are times when you watch the dual meets that they're toying with these people?
How about Bo Nickel with the blue hair on Friday night?
Oh, not yeah.
That was fun.
If I could handpick anybody that would come out with blue hair, it would have been Bo.
Another quick night for Bo. One step closer to the Hodge.
I mean, he walks out, the other guy just says, I think they're just all, I'm going to fall down.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.